Hi, I'm Eric Dahlman, pastor at Gospel of Grace Fellowship, and I'm in studio along with Gospel of Grace's theologian and teacher, Bob DeWay. We both want to welcome you here to Critical Issues Commentary Radio, where we dig into the great doctrines of the faith revealed verse by verse through the scriptures, and where we teach you how to contend for the faith once for all, handed down to the saints. Well, Bob, it's great to be with you again in studio, the only studio that I know of that has walleye right on the wall.
Yeah, and here we sit in the winter.
Yeah.
Wishing that we were in a boat somewhere fishing for them.
Amen, that's right. Well, we got some exciting things, though, to go through, don't we? We had finished up in Colossians 3:2 last time, where we'd finished talking about how Christ was the mystery that God had revealed most fully. And we had seen that the mystery was something not subjectively known by mankind or something that we could conjure up by our own emotions or ecstatic experiences, but the mystery was something that God had revealed through his spokespeople, the prophets and apostles, most fully revealed in his Son to reveal what God requires for salvation and for forgiveness of sins and eternal life. Now, as we move on from there, we get into verse 3 where we have, it looks like a relative pronoun here. It says, in whom, talking about Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now, that's a loaded clause right there, Bob. Because it's in Christ, Paul saying, that is hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now, let me ask you, the people at Colossae were looking for hidden things, and they were finding them in the mystery religions, weren't they?
Yeah, you definitely, when you study Colossians, and in recent years, there's been published some fantastic material on this.
Yes.
And there's even been, in the last century or so, this archaeological discoveries about some of the religions, their icons, their practices. So this is an interesting field of study.
Yeah.
But what's clear is that Paul is saying to the Christians, they have everything that would be desirable spiritually in Christ.
Yeah, amen.
Remember going all the way back, chapter 1, verses 13 and 14.
Yeah.
Rescued, transferred, redeemed, and forgiven.
Yes.
In fact, I wrote an article about that recently, published it, and it's gotten a lot of good feedback. And what I like the best is when people say, wow, that really set me free.
Oh, that is
now
beautiful.
I know.
Yeah.
And a lot of people have been taken advantage of by deliverance counselors who claim to know about all these demons.
Right, right.
And they're really no different
than
the false teachers at Colossae.
That's right.
In fact, what we're going to do after we finish verse 3
we're going to talk about that.
We're going to do radio and go through that article and explain why Christians need to avoid people who are going to go in and do regression therapy.
Exactly.
Casting out demons. We'll deal with that.
That's right.
And we'll point you
to the promise,
to what Colossians tells us, which is the riches of Christ.
Amen. Exactly. Now, Bob, this is deeply ironic, too, in a sense, because here when it says hidden are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge in Christ, the irony here in some sense is that you have all these mystery religions that require hidden knowledge, secret knowledge. But what's interesting is when God reveals salvation through his Son, he does it publicly. It's open for all. And it reminds me of the categories that you had in our Sunday school for the means of grace, a means by which someone can be sanctified. One of the things that you'd mentioned is one of the categories is that it's accessible to all. What's very interesting is when God reveals his Son, the fullness of his salvation, the revelation of his final mystery, as it were, how we can be right with him, it's not something that we have to jump through hoops. We don't have to find some mystery. We don't have to find some hidden cult to do it. But God publicly proclaims it out in the open. In fact, in Romans chapter 3, Paul makes it very clear that God displayed Christ publicly as a propitiation. I remember when I was talking to you about that, you said, hey, you know what? In the Old Testament, they used to take their sacrifices And when the high priest would sacrifice him, it was in private. It was behind the veil, as it were. Well, what God does in his Son is public. It's out in the open.
Yes, and it's not without significance.
Yes.
That the veil was ripped.
Amen. That's
when
points
Christ
to
died.
It. Yes.
It makes this whole act of atonement symbolically, it points to Christ as the public atonement.
Right. But it's funny, in another sense, Christ is hidden because those who believe are those that God has chosen to enable to believe. Because the majority, the message is clear. It's out in the open, publicly available to everyone. But the irony is only those that God chooses end up believing. And in that sense, we might say it's hidden.
So this same idea, now the veil is torn in two.
Yes.
Paul mentions that in 2 Corinthians.
Right.
And Eric, you want to read that?
Yeah. 2 Corinthians 4:3, you're exactly right, Bob. Paul says, and even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled only to those who are perishing. So it's hidden in that sense. In their case, the god of this world, that's Satan, has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Wow.
Okay, so the message isn't veiled.
No.
It's proclaimed publicly.
Right.
Christ's atonement was public. The blood was shed publicly.
Yeah.
Once for all, for the remission of sins, for those who believe.
Amen.
And so the veiling would only be the hard-heartedness and the blinding of the eyes.
Yeah.
People who are serving Satan.
Right, exactly right.
Now, you can't remedy that by casting out a blindness demon.
Right. Well said.
Right?
Yes, exactly. God's sovereign over that.
We remedy that by proclaiming him.
Amen.
So when we preach Christ, those who hear the inner call, the veil's removed.
Amen.
And we behold, as it says in that same chapter, we behold the glory of the Lord.
Right, exactly.
Where the Spirit of the Lord is,
yeah,
there's liberty.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit comes in,
right,
removes the veil, and we see the glorious light of Christ.
Amen. Well said. That's beautiful.
So it's not a mystery religion.
No.
It's not a secret. It's publicly manifested.
Right.
And publicly proclaimed. The question is, will we believe it?
Yes.
Now, some people have Christ, but they're still deceived by people peddling mysteries.
Yeah. That's right.
We mentioned that last week.
Yep.
Okay. And there's so many of them.
Right. That's so true. You know, Bob, I was thinking about here too. He says that in whom, he's talking about Christ, are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. This idea of wisdom and knowledge, those are key terms too. Sophia and Gnosis.
Oh, yeah. Now that's 1 Corinthians.
Yeah, exactly right. And we'll go to that. And I was thinking throughout Asia Minor, this is something that people boasted in, whether they're at Colossae or at Corinth. This is something very common because, for example, at Colossae, you have people that are coming with secret Sophia and knowledge that come from the secret mystery religions. Well, what Paul is saying is, no, the where you find the wisdom and the true knowledge from God, that is how you can have atonement, how you can have imputed righteousness, how you can have right standing and being reconciled to Yahweh, which is what we all need. The way that we find that true wisdom and knowledge isn't through any mystery religion. That's found in Christ.
Yes, and sometimes Paul uses irony.
He does.
Okay? And he does that in 1 Corinthians.
Yes.
So people in the ancient world,
yeah,
both in Asia Minor and on the Greek peninsula,
right,
they valued Sophia and Gnosis.
Right.
Okay? Now, Colossians 2:8, that we haven't got to yet, talks about the philosophy.
Right.
All right? And philosophy, which is the love of wisdom.
Right.
Philo, which is love.
Sophia, right?
Sophia, yeah. Wisdom.
Amen.
Is what they had.
Right.
And there used to be philosophers who had actually gone into the public square and peddle their philosophy.
Wow.
One early Christian, Justin Martyr,
yeah,
used to be one of those.
Yeah, yeah.
And he had a robe that he wore.
Yeah.
See, when you saw him, oh yeah, there's a philosopher.
Right. Yeah.
He became a Christian, and then he debated,
wow,
against the pagans.
Right.
And
right.
Preached Christ.
Yeah, amen. Yeah, so true wisdom then isn't found in anything that you could have. For example, if you're a Colossi going through some ritual where you would find protection from the demonic realm and from having bad fate. But true wisdom and knowledge is found in Jesus Christ, where we can have forgiveness of sins and right standing with Yahweh. That's what we need. So what's interesting is true wisdom and true knowledge is directed towards people, or directed in Jesus Christ towards the true needs that people have and the true remedy. The true need is forgiveness of sins, atonement, righteousness, right standing with God. Their false understanding and false wisdom led them to want to control things about life here and now.
Yeah, and see, by couching it in a process,
yeah,
where you go through stages and eventually you learn more of the secrets.
Right.
Until you become a full-blown initiate.
Sure.
And then you in a sense meet your demons.
Yeah, right.
They literally did that.
Yeah.
But this goddess Hecate would be the one who controlled that.
Sure.
And if you could emerge from that victorious, then you never had to fear bad fate.
Wow.
Okay. We have things like that today. For example, the Masonic Lodge.
Yeah, yeah. It's the same thing.
They have secrets.
Yes.
And you supposedly can't know what they are.
Right.
And if you go through enough of their degrees,
right,
you even get to know some secret name of God.
Yeah, that's right.
And so people are deceived because they think they're going to have some truth, quote unquote,
right,
or wisdom,
yeah,
or gnosis, knowledge, that ordinary people don't know anything about.
Right.
See, that's why conspiracy theories snag people.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because if you read all this, oh yeah, look at this, this, and this,
yeah,
and here's what's really going on.
Right.
Now you know something normal blokes,
yeah,
to be British,
yeah,
they have no idea. For example, and they really sucker in smart people.
Yes.
One guy about 20 years ago wanted me to read a book.
Yeah.
And I said, well, tell me what it's about. Well, it proves that FDR planned Pearl Harbor.
Oh. Oh, boy. Yep. Here we go.
What?
Yeah.
I was shocked, being how the person I knew to be very intelligent.
Sure, right.
I said, no, I don't think I want to read that.
Yeah.
And see, why would you want that?
Yeah.
Okay, we don't know what happened at Pearl Harbor.
Right, right.
We don't know who the enemy was,
yeah,
in World War II.
Right.
And that the President of the United States planned Pearl Harbor.
Yeah.
Because he had some hidden motive.
Right, right.
Well, see, everybody that reads that book,
yeah,
they're like initiates in these mystery religions.
Sure, they have the secret
and
knowledge.
Once they know that, and now nowadays we're further removed because a lot of the World War II,
yeah,
generation is, you know, passing through the scene of history.
Yeah, yeah.
But back then, if you knew that,
right,
and this guy, by the way, was a veteran.
Wow.
Surprised he was taken
that's
in.
That's tough.
Well, then you could walk around with this smugness.
Yeah.
Yeah, everybody thinks they know, right, American history. They know nothing.
Right, right.
I know the real history.
Yeah.
FDR planned Pearl Harbor.
Right, great point.
So, see, that's the dynamic,
yeah,
that makes mystery religions work.
Yeah.
Or cults. Like, yes, Mormonism.
Right.
They have secrets.
Right.
Okay? and you have to be a certain kind of temple Mormon
right.
out in Utah
yeah.
to really know these things.
That's right.
Not just the normal Joe Blow goes and practices the religion.
Right.
See, people want a Christianity like that.
Yeah.
See, they want to be smug and walk around with their nose in the air and say, well, all these stupid, ordinary Christians.
Right.
They don't have the real knowledge.
Yeah.
They struggle. They have problems because they haven't had this higher order experience.
Right, right.
They haven't entered in Bachuan.
Yeah.
They don't have the gnosis.
Yeah.
That was going on in Corinth.
Right.
Their false teachers claimed to have Sophia.
Yeah.
And gnosis.
Right.
And it made them better than everybody else.
Yes.
Whether it's a conspiracy theory or
that's so true.
Some religious experience.
Yeah.
Somebody emailed me.
Yeah.
And I get, and I like interacting with my readers.
Right.
And they were claiming that the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom means that we have new revelations.
Oh, no.
Okay?
Yeah.
In other words, there are secret things to be revealed beyond Scripture that some people with the gift of word of knowledge
yeah.
and word of wisdom, they have it.
Right.
So I wrote back and I said, well, those verses are a little bit ambiguous because of the genitive.
Yeah, yeah, subjective or objective, right?
It can mean a word that consists of knowledge.
Right.
Or a word that came from knowledge.
Yeah, amen.
We're not sure.
Right.
Paul doesn't say. But here's what we do know, that the Corinthians claimed to have secret wisdom and knowledge.
Yes.
It made them better
yes.
than everybody else.
That's right.
And Paul rebuked them.
Exactly.
And pointed to Christ and the cross.
Right.
In Colossians 1.
Right.
And I said, also, this is to that guy who wrote me.
Right.
Read on in 1 Corinthians 12.
Yeah.
Different people have different gifts. Now you're claiming some people have special revelation beyond Scripture. Sure. I deny that.
Right.
But one thing it says later, the eye can't say to the hand,
I have no need of you.
I have no need you.
Right.
We can't, excuse me, I have no need of you. We cannot say that.
Yeah.
So if your claim is right, and certain Christians have access to gnosis and Sophia
yeah.
that ordinary Christians have no clue about,
right.
they're violating the whole intent.
Exactly.
Of the passage.
Exactly right. And Bob, you know, it's interesting. At Corinth, the secret knowledge and the secret wisdom that they were claiming led them to believe that they were living in an eschatological age already. For example, that's why they denied there was a resurrection to happen. This is why Paul started to have to argue in 1 Corinthians 15 that if they deny the resurrection, he says, well, then not even Christ has been raised from the dead. We're the most pitied of all people. We're still in our sins, etc. And they're also denying, for instance, marriage. Because what they thought was, well, we'll stop marrying because in the eschatological age that's been revealed to us through our secret wisdom and knowledge,
right.
we know that there's no marriage. So they started acting out as if they were already in the glorified state, all because of their secret wisdom and knowledge. And Paul is to bring them back to reality, saying, no, your true wisdom and your true knowledge isn't found through your subjective experiences, but it's found in the written word that brings us to Christ. True wisdom and true knowledge is found and how we have atonement, how we have righteousness, and therefore right standing with God. And he says that was in Christ. And this is what he says here in 1 Corinthians 1:19. He says, in fact, I'll just back up in verse 18. He says, for the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it's the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. He says, where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles, but to those who are called, here's the elect, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God.
Yeah.
And so the wisdom of God is found in Christ. Amen.
Exactly. And the same goes for knowledge.
Exactly.
And remember later, 1 Corinthians, Paul says some people, they're claiming knowledge.
Yeah, right.
Meaning superior knowledge.
Exactly. Right.
And in an ironic play on words,
yeah,
he says, if you think you have knowledge, you know nothing as you ought to know.
Right. Amen.
And he uses a simile.
Yeah.
Knowledge can mean information.
Right.
About some topic.
Yes.
But in the Bible, knowledge is used relationally.
Yeah. Amen. Wow.
Adam knew his wife.
Right. Right.
Okay. To know Christ is to have a relationship with him.
Wow.
Through the cross.
Yeah. Amen.
So these knowers,
yeah,
the ones in Corinth with gnosis,
right?
Oh, they had secret insights to them. Hey, we can go in to the pagan love feast,
right,
and participate even in the prostitution.
Wow,
that goes on in the pagan temple,
yeah,
and be joined to the harlot,
right?
And Paul is using this aspect of knowledge. It can mean, oh, I know all these things and I can do this and it won't hurt me.
Right, right.
With the relational meaning.
Exactly.
If you are joined to Christ,
yeah,
you're one spirit with Christ.
You're one with him, right?
You're with him.
Yeah.
And you can't go and have relations with a harlot.
Right. It's like adultery.
You're being joined to the demons.
Exactly.
Of the temple.
Right.
Of the pagan god.
Wow, great point. Yes, amen.
That's what he's saying.
Right, I love that. And Bob, that's beautiful, because that's the same issue here. Where do we find what we really need, which is forgiveness of sins, atonement, righteousness? It's through knowledge of God in Christ Jesus,
yeah,
isn't it?
We are related to God.
Amen.
Through Christ. And we know truth because he's chosen to reveal it.
That's right.
In Scripture.
Wow.
And so here, looking at this Greek,
yeah,
it says, in whom are all the treasures, thesaurus.
Yeah.
That's where we get our word thesaurus.
Sure, sure. But treasures.
It can mean a treasure house or a storehouse.
Right, right.
Where things are stored up.
Wow.
So in Christ, we have treasures. All treasures, it says.
Yeah.
And he's not going to run out.
Yeah. Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
And it doesn't mean there's some secret information we get.
Right.
But let's think about the throne of grace.
Right.
In Hebrews 4:16, we go to the throne of grace to find what?
Yes.
And this is in prayer.
Yeah.
When we go to Christ.
Yeah.
What do we find?
Help in our time of need.
Yeah. Help. We find mercy.
Yes, grace, yeah.
God's merciful.
Right.
To sinners. We find grace.
Yes.
We find timely help.
Wow.
And this is all of the thesaurus.
Yes.
Treasure house.
Wow.
That's Christ. And as we go to the throne of grace, we're not going to drain,
yeah,
the storehouse.
Exactly. Bob, this is beautiful. You know, as you're saying that, I'm thinking, you know, think about the person that's living in Colossae. They see people who, yes, they began with Christ, but they get into these secret religions. And for them, it's about having protection for your family. Just like the Israelites. Remember, they were surrounded by the culture of Baal and Asherah, where you have the god and the goddess who are supposed to bring fertility upon the land. And so, yeah, you've got Yahweh, but you really need extra help, as it were, from these other gods. And if you really want a bumper crop and you want a successful family and you want everything to go swell.
They didn't
swell,
want to miss one.
Right, they didn't want to miss
one. They might have a drought.
Exactly. You wanted these other gods. And what's very interesting is I thought about Jesus' words where he says, what would a man gain if he gained the whole world, but he lost his soul? And the point being is here these people don't know that in Christ, like you're pointing out, Bob, the fullness of all these treasures are stored, meaning one day, if you want perfection, if you want a perfect life, you want eternal life and a body that will never rot, and to live in a perfect kingdom, where is that found? Is it found through the mystery religions, or is it Christ? Well, it's Christ. If you want a bumper crop in the millennial kingdom that will never rot, and that will be just glorious beyond anything that anyone's ever seen, where is that found? Is it the mystery religions, or is it Christ? Well, that's found in Christ. Yeah. It's all there, isn't it?
Yeah. And so, in Colossians 2, 1 through 3, we've seen that.
Yeah.
That there are riches of full understanding. And here, we have the treasures, as I said.
Yeah.
And treasures of wisdom and knowledge hidden, but that word hidden here, apokryphos, can mean hidden away.
Okay.
But it has a nuance, laid up in store.
Oh, beautiful.
So there's two terms.
Yes.
And I wanted to quote Douglas Moo on this.
Yeah, yeah.
Quote, and the use of hidden, says Moo in this verse, does not have an implicit contrast with revealed, since Paul's point, of course, is that wisdom and knowledge are now freely available in Christ. They are, quote-unquote, hidden in Christ in the sense that they are treasures that have been deposited in him and are now stored up in him.
Yes.
Treasures stored up where we receive from Christ who we alone trust.
Yeah.
Isn't the same as some new secret.
Right.
Some name of some pagan deity.
Yeah.
That if we know it, we can say it.
Yeah.
And participate in the fate of the deity. Okay. That's the stuff that was going on in their mind.
Wow.
But that's not what it's saying. See, a lot of times, false teachings come from taking something that has a figurative language and meaning and making it wrongly literal.
Right.
Okay,
right.
For example, the famous one, 1 Corinthians 2, the carnal Christians.
Oh, right, right, yeah.
You are carnal.
Right.
I just did some study on this.
Yeah.
Higher, deeper life evangelicalism.
Right, so they break it into two different Christians.
Take it literally.
Yeah.
And decide there's two kinds of Christians.
Right.
The carnal ones, the spiritual ones.
Yeah.
And then they used to have a conference where you went and had a higher order experience.
Wow.
To go from the lower category to the higher category.
Sure.
But that whole, and then a whole movement. And most of American evangelicalism was taken in by that.
Wow.
And still is.
Yeah.
Okay? All based on failing to recognize that Paul was using irony.
Yeah. So,
Christians,
yeah,
by definition, aren't carnal.
Right.
They're spiritual because they're joined to the Lord.
Amen.
Through the gospel.
That's right. He was using it to shame them.
Yeah. So if you're acting carnal,
right,
one or two things are true. You're not thinking very clearly,
right,
about the implications of the gospel.
Yeah.
And the cross. Or you're not a Christian.
Right.
And you're just pretending.
Yeah. Amen.
But it's not that there are two kinds of Christians.
That's right.
All right. That's just an example. Same thing happens here, Colossians.
Yeah.
They believe there's some secret knowledge that some modern-day apostle and prophet can tell us about. And get the opposite idea of Paul's point, that we have Christ, in him are stored up.
Ah, isn't that beautiful?
All of the wisdom we'll ever need.
Ah, I love it.
And we go to him.
Amen.
And we trust him.
That's right. Amen. Bob, well said, and very fitting way to end this particular program. Well, we're out of time again for this edition of Critical Issues Commentary Radio. We want to remind you that you can access this program at our website at cicministry.org. Bob, it was a pleasure discussing these passages. I look forward to getting into the next verse with you next week.
Well, actually.
Oh, we're going to be doing our special.
We're going to do a special.
Yeah.
It's on Colossians, though.
That's right.
But
what's the title again?
Say it's Rescued, Transferred, Redeemed, and Forgiven.
Forgiven. There you go. Yeah. Right. Beautiful. Well, we want to remind all of you out there, as it says in Philippians 1:27, stand firm in one spirit with one mind and strive together for the faith of the gospel.